Mm-hmm. afternoon. Actually, good evening, said church. I welcome you to stand with us while we give God praise this evening. I can't get out of this morning. This evening. All right. God, we worship you. We thank you for your presence that's here it now meeting us, God. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. God, we give you all our adoration. Those at home, don't be afraid to stand up wherever you are, your kitchen, your living room, and give God praise as well. Come on. Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken. I'm living by faith. Nothing is impossible. Oh yeah. Nothing is impossible. Oh. Help me sing. Come on. Not gonna live by what I see. Thank you, Jesus.
Take shelter in your name. 'cause you know my name. El Shaddai is near. Elohim is here.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church. We got to give God worship in this place. We got to bless his name in this place. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that's here. We thank you, God, because we can do nothing without it. There would be no reason to be in this building without it. And God, we just give you glory for it, that you would even know us. You would show up here, God. We thank you that we've come for an encounter with you. Father, we thank you for your presence. This part of the service is our prayer and praise. And so our prayer warriors, our prayer team are going to come in front of the stage and give you the opportunity. If you need prayer today for whatever it is, allow us to pray with you. When we come in agreement, in Jesus' name, it's done. So we invite you to come up and pray with us. For those watching online, we just pray miracles. We pray breakthroughs. We pray healing. We pray deliverance. We pray restoration. Thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, and we stand with you in the name of Jesus. Amen. This is our last song. I encourage you to just step in tonight. We've come on a Sunday night. Let's not come and just stand. Come on. Let's come and worship. Hallelujah. Oh, this is a house of miracles. Yeah. This is a house of worship. This is a place of praise where every demon trembles, where we proclaim your name. This is a house of healing. Our hearts are full. Our full attention, you have the final say. So come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. We bring everything in the name. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Whoa. There's resurrection power. Your blood runs. speak to the dead dreams. Come alive in the name of Jesus. We speak to the brokenness. Oh, come alive in the name of Jesus. Oh, come alive in the name of Jesus. Oh, what a shame. Oh, man. We worship you, God. Yeah. We declare it. We receive it. Oh, come alive in the name.
Come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Oh, we bring
everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
So declare it.
That's what worship does. It changes the atmosphere. It ushers in the presence of God, and that's what we're singing about. It's the name of Jesus, and we're calling the things that are dead to come to life. It says, come alive in the name of Jesus. And so that's what the presence of God is doing tonight. It's bringing forth the things that are dead, and it's calling them to come alive. So can we just give another round of applause to God and give thanks to Him for His goodness? We love you, Jesus. We worship. Hallelujah. Thank you. We're so glad you guys are here on a Sunday evening. Before you guys sit down, just would you mind turning and greeting your neighbors and just tell them, glad to see you. Give them a high five. Tell them how good they look. And you guys can be seated. To Ascend Church. So glad you guys are here. My name's Abel Cartwright. If I haven't got a chance to meet you, I'd love to meet you guys. Just want to welcome everyone here, and I want to give a special welcome to the people who are watching us online in the comfort of your home. So feel free to get comfortable, get your Bible, get your notes. We're just so glad you're tuning in and watching us here. Just a couple announcements before Pastor or Prophet Ed comes and ministers. If you guys haven't checked us out on social media, Send Church, we have Facebook pages, we have Instagram pages, and specifically Facebook, if you guys have it. For me, I'm taking a break this year, but if you guys are on it, you can check in on Facebook. There's a feature to, sorry, threw me off there. There's a feature that you can check in, and it's super easy, and you can share our live stream too, and it's a simple click, and your circle of friends and your influence in the social media community, you never know what one share could do, could impact one person's life, and then it's a ripple effect into their family and all their relationships. So just encourage you guys to use social media for that that aspect. For those who want to continue to watch Pastor Steve's messages, they're available on the Ascend website, which they're very easy to watch. It's ascendchurch.us. And then if it's available on the Ascend app. It's really easy to watch all those. There's about hundreds of sermons that you can just browse throughout the week. And so I encourage you guys to listen, keep listening. That's, after I hear it on Sunday, I listen to it one more time during the week, because repeating the word of God in your life, it helps build faith. And it's just like a muscle. You got to keep working it out. And it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I just encourage you guys to continue to listen to the word and Pastor Steve's sermons. And there's not really an excuse, because it's with their phones today. It's, you can just go on the app and download it. And then for the new guests, is there any new guests here? For the first time visitors, would you mind raising your hand? Easy to stay in touch with the announcements, what's going on at Ascend Church. You'll get a little blurb of what's going to be preached on Sunday morning. So it's just a good way to stay in touch with what's going on here at Ascend Church. And lastly is our purpose, the purpose of Ascend Church. That's what we remind you guys each week about these four purposes. And the first one is to help people know God. And Philippians 3, Paul says, "For my determined purpose is to know God and to become intimately and deeply acquainted with him." So that's really the purpose for everyone here, but it's really the purpose for Ascend Church and equipping you guys that are here. The second one is to find freedom. So Jesus came to set the captives free. The children of God are supposed to be free from all bondages, anything that they come into. That's the whole mission of Jesus. That's the mission of Ascend Church as well. And the third one is discover your purpose. Kind of ties in with knowing God, but it's more specific. Everyone's called and has a purpose by God, and by coming and getting filled with the word here at Ascend Church, you begin to learn what God's purpose is for your life. And the last one is make a difference. It's not only making a difference in your life, but making a difference in your family's life by you being here. Just what I was saying before, it's a ripple effect, and it's, you don't realize what the Lord's doing in you when you come here. It's transforming you, and people can see that light. Your family members who might not know God, or your friends who might not know God. So that's really the four missions and purposes at Ascend Church. So now's the time in the service we're going to get to worship God with our tithes and offerings. And it's a continuation of worship to God, because he's been so good to us. And this is our time to give back to him, because it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." And so we are basically showing our love for Jesus, is that's why we give back to him. And that's what it ties in with tithes and offerings. So when I was praying about what to share, the Lord led me to Malachi 3:10-11. And you may say everyone gets led to that verse for tithes and offerings, because it's probably the most common verse that's preached on in tithes and offerings. And Pastor Steve preached about it about 3 weeks ago, called Open the Windows of Heaven. So I'm sure you guys are all familiar with it. But the Lord was emphasizing the verse 11 part to me, and I just wanted to share a little bit on that with you guys. So let's just read verse 10 and 11 together. It says, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you blessing without measure." And this verse 11 part, it says, "I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your land, and the vine in your field, and will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of hosts." So the emphasis here is on rebuking the devourer for you, so that it won't destroy the fruits of your land. So it's a twofold promise that God's given us. It's not only he's going to open the windows of heaven and bring increase into your lives, but it's also, there's a protection part of that we don't realize, or we don't maybe focus on or remember. And 2 weeks ago, when Pastor Steve asked me to preach on the offering, I wanted to share a personal testimony with you guys, because I feel like personal testimonies have a bigger impact, because if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. So I didn't have a specific testimony, and then a couple days later, or I guess a more recent testimony, but a couple days later, I got a medical bill in the mail for $2,000, and I was like, "Okay, Lord, how are you gonna turn this one around?" And the backstory was, I was in Alaska wilderness hiking, and I was sick in the middle of nowhere. I had a sinus infection, and I self-diagnosed myself, and I knew I just needed antibiotics. And so the only thing open in the wilderness was an emergency room. And so that's really expensive for even simple or minor ailments. So that was why the bill was so expensive. I called the hospital. They said it was, said, "Can you please confirm this is accurate?" And they said, "Yes, everything's accurate, Mr. Cartwright." I called the insurance company. I said, "Can you please confirm this is accurate? Can you run it? And they said, "Yes, we can confirm it's all accurate." And then I tried the old, "Can you please look at this again? Can you please recrunch the numbers?" And she said, "Oh, wait, something strange here. Let me look into this again." I was on the hold for 20 minutes. I came back, and she said, "The adjuster took another look at it and adjusted your account." And she says, your account balance now shows that you owe $0. I was blown away, and the first thing I do was, as I fell on my knees, and I said, "Thank you, Jesus," because that's all. He wants to do more than bless you, because he's given you, just like any good father, he's given you all these good gifts, but he wants to protect them so the enemy can't steal them. And the enemy's first motive is steal, kill, and destroy. So the enemy wants to steal what God's given you. And so without that promise or that covering or protection, it's going to be hard for you to protect it on your own. So it's just it's a good reminder for me, and hopefully this encouraged you, that I'm just so thankful for God's goodness in our lives, but I'm thankful for his protection and his covering. And I just hope that encouraged you guys. So before we have Prophet Ed speak, we have a short video, and there's various ways to give. They're going to show it on the screen here. You can give via Secure Give app. You have envelopes in the seat in front of you. You can give online, text giving, and Cash App as well. So ushers, you can go ahead and pass the buckets around, and we're just going to pray for the offering. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We love you, Lot. We love you, God. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for every faithful giver in this church. Thank you for just your blessing upon us, Father. We thank you for your goodness in our lives, that you not only want to increase us financially, but every aspect of our lives. You want to bless us, Father. And we just give you back what you've already given to us, Father. It's already yours. We just give it back into your hands, and we ask you to bless it, Lord. In your mighty name, Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you, guys. We're just going to have a quick video, and then Prophet Ed's going to come speak.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ascend Church. We are so glad that you are here today. We're so glad all those watching this online as well. Pastor Jill and I, we're out of town for a few days. We're actually on a cruise. Why?
Yeah, for our 39th anniversary.
We're celebrating our 39th anniversary.
We always miss you when we're gone, but you're going to have a phenomenal time in church in this service.
Absolutely. We have a very special guest with us today, somebody that we've known for, it must be almost 30 years. It's close around there. We've known him for such a long time, and a really dear friend, and very popular. I know that everyone at his Ascend Church loves him, and we're so glad to welcome Prophet Ed Trout is going to be speaking today and tonight. And if you've never heard Ed Trout, what an amazing ministry. He's a modern-day biblical prophet, and God uses him in an amazing way. He prophesies over people with such accuracy, with such detail. The Lord shows him things about people. And we've watched Ed minister this way for years and years and years. And it always is amazing to me, you know, to watch Ed, because he's so spot on and so detailed. And so you're going to be greatly blessed. Ed's also got a great sense of humor and is a great teacher and preacher. And so you're going to be blessed today. We're sorry we're not there, but everybody, won't you please welcome Prophet Ed Trout to Ascend Church.
Thank you, family of God. We are family. We have the same father. Different mothers, the same father. So glad you guys came out. Back some of you came, and then some weren't here this morning, but I'm glad you came tonight. For those who don't know me, my name is Ed Trout. They call me Special Ed because I'm special. That's what my grandkids call me, and they even have made shoes, Vans, with Special and Ed on back of them. So comical grandkids. Anyway, I ride the short bus. That's all I need to do. All right, thank you, Jesus. So, I need to get the sound right, please. I don't want to hear the echo. I was born again when I was 13, and God called me to the prophetic ministry from the pastorate. I was a pastor, and I didn't want to do it. I resisted it because I didn't know what it was, and he asked me to train people in the prophetic. I'm not mystical, weird, strange, independent. I'm in a local church. Pastor Theo is my pastor. And I believe in healthy biblical ministries. And the prophetic has its place to play. We're not led by prophecy, we're led by the Holy Ghost. But there are New Testament prophets, and there's a gift of prophecy. It's very important. And every born-again believer should prophesy according to scriptures. And there are those that are called to the prophetic ministry or ministries. And I'm called of God to advance that. Your ministry, even if you're not called to the prophetic, but you have other ministry, I have a cute gift from God to identify where you are in your journey and help push you. And it's the only place, these encounters that I do, where I lay hands on people. I don't lay hands on people anywhere else. And we cap it at 30. I'm leaving from here tomorrow to go to Kentucky to do one, and it's already too full. We have two more than 30 we're not supposed to have. And we have one coming up in San Antonio in December, and the Lord really, really blesses them. I'm not just saying that. I'm not trying to commercialize. I just don't want to miss any amazing instruments in this room that God might be using, if I can help you. So let me encourage you to consider coming to this encounter. You've got to just type in propheticlife.com is our website, or you can download our app. You can just type my name in anywhere in the Google, Ed Trout, T-R-A-U-T, and it will pull up anything you need to know. about the ministry, and you can register, get online and do that for December. San Antonio is the sixth largest city in the nation. It is very quaint and beautiful in many ways. It has a lot of, in fact, our number one industry is tourism. We have the Riverwalk and the Alamo and other things that are really fascinating. So you do come, try and stay a day longer or come a day earlier. It's worth your while to visit San Antonio. Just want you to register, and if you're any way gifted and you want to come to this, please, we still have some spots left over in December. Good. Now, also, I want to encourage you. You want to say something?
I'd like to give you a different mic. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sweet lady. This girl's got a voice. Oh, my Lord. I know she does it. When I hear her sing, I go, woo, girl. Whenever I sing, my wife always says, prophesy, brother, prophesy. They tell me I sing like a knight in jail. You got that, didn't you? Well, you know, Saul and Silas and Paul sang in jail and it fell down. That's how badly they sang in jail. It's night in jail, a whole night. Anyway, forget it, you lost that one. So I want to encourage you in this church, to my delight, I heard recently, or yesterday in fact, that Brother Abel is doing a prayer meeting in the upper room on Thursdays. It was every second Thursday, but apparently now it's going to be every Thursday. Why I'm so very excited about it, in my study, and I am totally fanatical and one-track minded, I love the Lord. I'm not the best Christian. I'm not without faults and weaknesses and struggles, but I love the Lord with every ounce of my being. I know Him personally, and I enjoy Him so much. And I want you to enjoy it too. And so when it concerns Him or His work, I'm excited. And I know from many years that the common denominator in every move of God in the last 2,000 years was always preceded by sacrificial prayer. Always it was the same common denominator. So when I heard that initiated a prayer on a regular basis, and I said, well, how many come to it? And he said, only 15. And I went, 15's a lot, because prayer meetings are poorly attended generally. And that's a good number. And I want to encourage you to come along and try to come on a Thursday night to pray. It's not talking about prayer. It's not a lot of talking. Hopefully, it's going to be just prayer and targeted prayer. If you aim at nothing, that's what you'll hit. Nothing. So you have to pray and have a focus of prayer. Because God does answer. You don't have to be a Christian or a special person to pray, because God hears all people that pray. Everybody, anywhere. If you call, He'll answer. So let me encourage you to pray. Just give it a try. How long is it going? An hour? 2 hours. If it's too long for you, you can come just for the time you want to come. But come. Come. Make an effort to come. It will change your life and the kingdom of God, and things will happen. It has a ripple effect. It's just remarkable what it does to a whole community when someone prays. Are you with me? Thank you so much. I would like to teach tonight, teach you, and I've learned in my journey of life that it's not how people treat me. People can be very nice to me because they like me, but I watch how they treat other people, whether it's a waitress or a person at the gas station, someone they talk to. I can tell what they really like by the way they treat other people, not the way they treat me. If they're rude and gossip about someone else, they're going to talk about me. They will. Eventually they will. Now, having said that, I study how my Lord, my Savior, my Jesus, interacted with people. There were all kinds of people in His life. They were called sinners and tax collectors. And He had every conceivable kind of person around Him, even hypocrites. And He had most people that came to Him, came out of desperate need, whether to be healed, needing a miracle, or just completely broken, finding life in itself, getting free, getting delivered. But there was one of the many people that came to Him was a man who did not need any of that. But he still came, and I have to explain to you, Goya, what that really is. Goya is not non-Jews, that you know, I'm a Jewish family, so I understand. It's taken me all my life to grasp that Jews look at the Word of God very differently to Gentiles, very differently. We have a whole different concept of understanding how the kingdom of God and the importance of these things. They talk about tithes from Malachi. He's talking about tithing, but tithing was long before any testament came.
Abraham initiated tithing. He was his idea, along with faith. You can't separate faith from putting aside what God's given you to give. If you're going to debate whether it's net or brutto, then just keep it because you don't really want to give it. And you must give it gladly. God doesn't want mean money. He wants happy money. He wants gladness in your heart when you give to God. A lot of you struggle financially because you don't give. You support the credit card system, which in your mail came a credit card you didn't ask for that you didn't want to use, but you took that sticker off and you eventually started spending money on a credit card you didn't want, on things you didn't need, with the intention of paying it off. And you still have that card 20 years later, and you've serviced the card with high interest rates, 15, 20, 18%, and it's accumulated. And you're struggling to pay your credit card off. All the money that belonged to God went to the credit card company. And it's been a trick and a trap of the devil for years, because Americans have always been the best givers in history. Americans are incredibly good givers in the kingdom of God, and that's why God's blessed this nation the way he has. They've always been givers. Of course, then you have the tithing, and I spoke the other day, and to the horror of some of the pastors, they had no idea. He said, I've never heard that before. Talk about the offering, and then you talk about seed. As long as there's an earth and night and day, there'll always be a seed in the harvest, always. But nobody sows a seed without purposefully expecting harvest. No one plows a field and gets a field ready. You put that seed in because you want something back. And there's nothing wrong with that. God's not mocked. It doesn't say what a man tithes or a man gives offerings. It says what a man sows. What a man sows. Whatever you're going to sow, it'll come back to you. God's not mocked. You can be sure that you're going to get it back. So when you sow a seed, you can't expect one little seed to produce a whole field. You calculate what kind of harvest you're looking for by putting the right amount of seed in the right place. Right? That's a seed. But you do it with an expectancy. But for us Jews, there's something much more holy and special when it comes to offerings. And when I go to Israel, I ask people usually, did Jesus bring offerings? And they usually say no, because he didn't sin. But there are many offerings we have, more than sin offerings. We have offerings of thanksgiving. We have offerings of first fruits, and on we have different kinds of offerings we bring to God. Offerings are something very holy, and it's nothing about expecting a harvest. It's all about a sacrifice. It's an act of gesture of love to God, and there's got to be a sacrifice involved. David, who loved the Lord, said, I will give to God that, not that which costs me nothing. I have to give to him something that I feel it must really hurt when I give it. That's what an offering is. It's so impressive to God that Jesus took time watching the offerings at the back of a temple and watched, or a synagogue, and watched a woman who had nothing, gave everything she had, and was excited about the sacrifice involved in her life rather than the rich people giving large amounts. Because it's all about the sacrifice, the offering. It's holy to God and not to be taken flippantly. I'm at the age where I don't really care if you like me or don't. So I tell you the truth because the kingdom of God is too important to me. So I'm going to tell you as if you're my very, very own family. Here in America, we are notorious for giving tips. Some people, like in England, you give a tip, they find it offensive. Australians don't like it either. It's English culture, I imagine, but they're getting to like it more and more around the world. And we in our country, we tip the waiters, we tip anything and everything. You can't even buy takeaways or anything else that where there's no waiting on you that they want tips. They give it, their little computer turns around and you don't have a choice. You have to really work at not giving a tip. Because that's our culture. Whether you give bags or whatever that someone does, you tip them. We already work it out. The steak costs $26, by the time I pay the taxes and the tip, it's $35. So we already reckon it in our minds. Am I right? So when it comes to church, we will give a tip, amount that we really set aside or think that we can. It's not a big issue. There's no sacrifice involved. If you want to open the heavens to you, and you can give an offering until you've tithed. Because no matter whatever money you give as an offering, until you've tithed, until you've made up your tithe, you've not an offering. It's no sacrifice. It was his all the time. You're only giving back his money. So only once you tithe does the offering begin to work. And it opens the heavens to you. It's more than just a seed. When you give a seed, it's very purposed. You want the return. But when you give an offering to God and you make a sacrifice, you're opening up the heavens to you. There's a crackling going on. What's that? Air conditioning. Okay, thank you. So I want to encourage you as children of God. Some of you might take this, some of you might not. People talk about offerings in this church and they get people start tensing up and getting, yeah, they want money again. Yeah, for your sakes. I admire Elijah. I admire him to leave a perfectly good provision of a brook of water, a little valley of his own, with a raven coming twice a day with meat and bread, to leave that provision to go out of the country to Ephrath, to a woman who is a widow. And then she sees her. What are you doing? She says, I'm gathering wood and I'm going to be cooking the last of this flour for my child and I. Okay, do that, but then give it to me. It takes enormous courage and faith to ask a widow and an orphan to give their last to you. When he had a provision, but he had to go and do that and take it from her so that she could have. It's so tough. And when they get on this platform and receive tithes and offerings, I can tell you, and I'm a living testimony of 40 years of God's provision. God's not broke. If you don't give what God assigned you to give in this tithe or offering, even to the offering they give, take for me, God will make it up somewhere else for me. I've got no doubt. I know my sources. But you're stealing from yourself if you don't do what God tells you. Don't tell him you love him and don't do what he says. A lot of you are struggling and not prosperous because you haven't learned to do what the Lord says. Because if you make your company, the place you work for, your boss, your income giver or the source, then you've got to change your mind. Because God's the source. He's not limited to what salary you get. He's got ways and means. He gets a bill of $2,000 and it's brought down to nil. God can do anything for you and do great things and release finance in the most amazing ways he's got for you. I don't want you to struggle. Jesus said, the poor will always be among you, not some of you. Not some of you, but they'll be among you so you can minister and bless them. It was never intended that you be of the poor. You can't help someone if you're poor. Jesus wasn't poverty mentality. He didn't drive a used car. Brand new donkey, untouched colt. Was so new you could smell the leather. And then he'd wore clothes. You couldn't buy at Dillard's or New York. You couldn't, you know, he had garment woven. Not sewn, woven. Top of the top of the top. That doesn't get any better. So beautiful that with all the grime of the being dragged through the streets for 3 days with a crucifix and blood everywhere, they still would not tear it. They wanted to cast lots for it because it was so beautiful. That's Jesus. Didn't have lots of wasted, but he had quality, everything. He's got that for you. That's what he wants you to. Earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He wants you to have all the blessings, but your heart is tested often when you talk about tithing or offerings. And I want you to get beyond that. When you sow a seed, look for the right soil and create an expectancy in your heart and then sow the seed. But an offering, when you bring an offering to God, remember it's precious to the Lord. He sees the heart, and that's what he rewards. And if you've given just a few dollars in the passing, and you're generous, you're kind, God will still bless you. But when there's a sacrifice involved and it really costs you something, he opens the heavens to you. I promise. Yeah. I'm teaching you as we teach my children. Now, there were many people that came to Jesus. The one I want to talk about tonight happened to be very successful, wealthy, someone you wouldn't think needed Jesus. He was a Jew. There are three accounts. We have four Gospels that are available to us. The Gospels were written much later. 70 AD was a calamity beyond calamities. Jesus said in Matthew 28, he said, a time is coming more terrible than there's ever been before or will ever be again. When the fall of Jerusalem happened, it was phenomenally horrible. People think of the Holocaust, which my family come from, as awful, 5 million people. But it was so horrific, the destruction of Israel. They even ate the Jewish children. It was that gruesome, 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 gruesome. It was awful. That's why Jesus said, pray that it doesn't happen in winter, that you can flee to the hills. He's describing that. And it was after this that our Gospels are written. John, the disciple, was only 18 when he met Jesus. So he lived, he was the only disciple that was not martyred. He lived into his 90s, wrote the book of Revelation with the help of those little Turkish disciples of his that were martyred, not him, on the Isle of Patmos. In his latter years, he wrote the book of Revelation, and in earlier years, he wrote the book of John in Ephesus, also with the help of others. But he didn't die of anything but old age, John. So he was much late in life, and he was the first hand. So Matthew was a wonderful tax collector and teacher, very educated man, and had a group of disciples that wrote the book of Matthew for him. As Mark probably wrote one himself or with the help of someone, Mark was the most used book in the early years and was the most copied, and in fact became a reference point for the other Gospels too. Luke was written by hand by the original guy. He was highly educated, a doctor that came from Greece. Am I boring you? Are you sure? Luke was a Greek who had come from a different culture and had become a Jew first and then become a Christian. So he was known as a proselyte. And so he'd become this incredible man, just following the crowd of the disciples. And he wrote the gospel from three different sources that he recollects. He probably used more. He actually asked people what actually happened. So his chances of his gospel being more chronological, more accurate in some details is more likely because he was a doctor. But he was also influenced by his culture. For example, the Jewish culture, we don't acknowledge women. They are just, it's the culture, women are not significant. In fact, that's why you're blessed if you have a son, not if you have a daughter. Sons bring blessings. That's the Jew even to this day. And so what happened when Luke comes along, he comes from a culture where women are important. They have women goddesses. They're female goddesses. Women are important. The matriarchal society too, part of it. And so he writes in Luke 8 about three different women. He mentions Mary Magdala, and he mentions Joanne, who's the wife of the man who running the palace for King Herod. And these are financial supporters, according to Luke, of Jesus. Mary Magdala was older than Jesus. She had seven demons, and they were cast out of her. She didn't get wealthy and get full of demons as a young girl, so she must have been a widow or an older woman. But she certainly supported Jesus in more ways than one. She went to, not the mother, not anyone else, but she went to the grave to prepare his body, do the duties of a wife would do. So she was kind and very supportive of Jesus. In fact, the early Catholic writings refer to her, Mary Magdala, as almost an apostle. She's a great influence on the early churches. I thought you might like to know some of these things. Now, in Matthew chapter 19, we're reading about this young man. That's why I was telling you, it's in the account of Matthew, Mark, and of course Luke writes about it too. Three different accounts. But of course Luke talks about him as a ruler. The other just referred to him as a rich young man. If you're young and successful and you really rule and you have money, you don't have a whole lot of needs. You kind of strongly confident and very successful. But this young man came to Jesus to ask him because he was looking for something. Now, this is what I want you to understand. For a Jew to go to Jesus, who's very controversial, his kingdom preaching was very odd and different. It was offensive to the Pharisees because they couldn't fault him scripturally. When Nicodemus came to him in John 3 late at night, he said, Rabbi, we know, not just me, we know that you're from God. We just don't want to admit it, but we know. And they began to debate and talk about born again and these different things that Nicodemus talked to them about. So they recognized him, but they couldn't quite pinpoint him. John, who's his cousin, and I could tell you a whole lot about him and John interacting long before he becomes the Messiah, prophesies publicly, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins. He says that. He says, whose sandals I'm not worthy to tie. Yet at the end of John's life, he's about to be beheaded. He's in a jail up there in Galilee. They want to kill him. And he sends word with his disciples to Jesus to ask him, are you the one, or should we be looking for someone else? After all that time, the message had been so different for John, he could not process this gospel. This gospel is so beautiful that even today, the church generally will try to pervert it and make it religious, legalistic, take away the goodness and the grace and the beauty of this gospel. Come to me as you are. I'll give you rest. Come to be heavy burden. I will give you away. That was the nature of the whole gospel. There was never harsh, negative preaching. It was always positive. Blessed are you when. His whole demeanor was of grace and mercy. He stood against the hypocrisy which was binding and holding God's people. But he came with a message of great love and kindness. Nothing could compare to this message. It was faultless. He was kind. And so John could not understand this. Now, for this rich young ruler to go and leave where he comes from with all the education he has, to go and seek Jesus out, you know he's desperate. He hasn't got answers that he's looking for. He's obviously been to the rabbis and some of the more reputable ones getting some sort of answer. But this is where he is now. Nobody's giving him, satisfying his answer. So verse 16 of the book of Matthew 19, Then a man came up and asked Jesus, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who's good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. So if you keep the commandments, you will have eternal life. If you keep the commandments," that's what Jesus said, "you'll have eternal life." That's what he asked. That was the answer. Which ones? Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor." So 7 of the 10 he names. And then he says, "All these I have kept." Okay, so I can understand, you know, if you murdered someone, and I know if you commit adultery, and I know if you also know if you've stolen or even given false testimony. But honoring your father and mother and loving your neighbor as yourself, how do you measure that you know you did that? But obviously he was confident he had. So he was very devoted with all his being to following after God. So he says, "These I've kept. What do I still lack?" He says, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be perfect, if you want to go a little higher, if you want to go deeper, if you want to go more intimate, if you want more of God, then go sell your possessions and give it to the poor. Now, it's not because money's an issue. It's because money's an issue for you. Not for generally. The love of money is the root of evil, not money itself. God has no problem with wealth. It is when wealth has a control of your heart. It is not rich people that build God's kingdom. It's generous people. Not rich people that build God's kingdom, it's generous people. One of the 8 things that God's drawn to, I mentioned this morning, was thankfulness. Then secondly, is generosity. God is enthralled. A total non-Jew, non-Christian, Cornelius gets an angelic visitation. Unlike Peter, unlike Paul, unlike all these guys, he gets an angel coming. Go send for Peter, let him come and bring you the gospel. You have found your generosity, your giving, and your prayers have reached God as a memorial offering. God is impressed with your giving. Boy, that, don't tell me God's not watching what you give. So when you give generously, nobody can deny that. They will tell you, that's too much, you're overdoing it. That's generous. When you give more, when other people get offended at your giving, you know you're generous. Do you understand it? And it's generous people that build God's kingdom, not wealthy. Okay, stay with me now. So, sell your possessions and give it to the poor. Not give it to your dad, mom, get rid of this, get rid of it. He specifically said to the poor. The reason is, if you give all your money away to the poor, you're not getting it back. You can't change your mind later. Once it's gone, it's gone. To that poor, all those different people, it's gone. You know, I ain't getting that back, baby. And then he says, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. You'd think that would have been a signal or a key for him. And then you'll have treasure in heaven. Treasure. Treasures. Everyone's looking for treasure. We have different treasures. Some people, I noticed, so many boats here, of course. It's a treasure to have a beautiful boat. It's a treasure to have a nice home. It's a treasure. Whatever your treasure, your big diamond, whatever, something special to you that someone gave you, it's a treasure. But you'll have treasures in heaven which will not fade, which is not temporary. That's what Jesus said. Then come, follow me. If you want to do great things, then if you want to be perfect, then come follow me. Because he was offered of a great level spiritually. Not all were invited. Even the man delivered of his demons, thousands of them at Gergesenes, wanted to follow. He said, no, you can't. Go back, go tell. You're not following me. And the Lord was very specific who could follow him. Now, I want to tell you, I got born again when I was 13. And I wasn't saved from sin. I was 13. What did I know from sin? I was too stupid. Didn't know what sin was. When I have young youth meetings and they would brag about their sins and what they call testimonies, competing who did the worst thing, I didn't do well with that. So I didn't do any of that stuff. I got filled with the Holy Ghost and got on fire for God, and then I sinned. So much worse knowing the way. And still, God forgave me. And my journey with him has only learned more and more. And 20 years ago, I went through a crisis and it drew me very close to the Lord. And a lot of people are always after seeking the Lord, and I hear my friends always yearning for a closer walk. But some years ago, the Lord said to me how he loves the gray years. And I asked him, what does he mean? He said, because all your life, you're chasing something, whether it's money, success, romance, something you're chasing, children, family, something. But when you're gray, you have time for me. I'm more important. And so I'm at that gray years. I don't even have hair, let alone gray. But this last 9 months of my life have been uncanny. I didn't go after looking for it, but he'd wake me up early in the morning, wake me up, like someone in my room, and begin to talk to me and have long conversations. And I'm not spooky. I'm not freaky. I'm not weird. And it was so overwhelming. And it was like rapid fire. He would like stick a USB inside of me and download stuff, and I couldn't even comprehend it all. At the same time, with so much stuff. And he'd talk to me as fast as I could ask a question or think or pray. And then he'd say, go ahead and ask me a question. And I could not for the life of me think of anything to ask. Several times, I'd be so stunned with his presence and his anointing, I didn't know what to ask. One time I'm praying with one of my employees, Eric, who's been in my family for 20 years, and there's four of my grandchildren are from him. And in fact, one of them has been here. And this, he was dumped in the summer now with his one daughter, dumped him with all the dogs. They had to move. And so he ended up with this one dog, three dogs. And this one dog was pregnant and had 13 puppies. And so he was overwhelmed with all these dogs. And he was so frustrated. So the Lord says, ask me what you want to. And I couldn't think of any. I said, Eric, have you got a question? Yeah, I'd like to know when these dogs are going to go. So I asked the Lord and he answered. And it happened exactly as he said. And I thought, what a waste. People are going to hell and we're asking about the dogs. I felt so stupid about that. But it's uncanny for me even to ask him where your keys are and things. He'll answer me. He'll tell me. And why I'm telling you this is it's not bragging, boastful, because I don't deserve it. But I enjoy him so much. I enjoy him more than anything else. And I want that for you because I don't deserve it, then you surely can have it. Because if I don't deserve it, you definitely could have, it's available to you too. And I would love for you to pursue him, not what he can do for you or give you, but to want him. But he does talk, he does speak, he does fellowship. He loves fellowshipping and being intimate with you. I was telling Abel, one of the questions was, I don't know what to ask him. So I was thinking, after a while, when he comes again, I'm going to ask, I've lined up some questions. And one of them I asked him was, okay, this has been in my mind a long time, since I went to Bible school. This whole Calvin thing, there's five things of Calvin, this predestination. I want to know, you said you regretted making man, regretted making Israel, and yet you knew what they were going to do. Well, he said, I'm God. And because I'm God, I can limit myself what I know to maintain the integrity of men's decision. And that answered the understanding hit me in a second. I knew exactly what he was saying. I know a lot of stuff, but they'll limit what I do know. I have the power to do that so that I don't infringe on what you can decide. The intimacy of God to man is just mind-boggling. Angels are made by the trillions. They're all over the place. They're immortal. They're powerful. Yet none of them, as there were a third of them, had left him in rebellion. Not one of them are worth redeeming or saving. Not one. But you, were to die for. The magnitude of his sacrifice was beyond imagination, that this God with all these universes would come and die for you and I. The angel only sinned once, and their lake of fire is waiting for them. You sin more than once this week. You've been redeemed. You're made with God's DNA. No angel was ever participating in God's own DNA. They were made for his service, different kinds of angels, supernatural. But you are a supernatural being made with his DNA, made in his image. He housed you in a carbon body that was not designed to last because he gave you time to get to know him, to run the normal course of this planet, as short as it may be, to get a chance to know him because you're going to live eternally with him. And that's what he's aiming at. That's why it's every breath you take is vitally important, that your life is focused. And a lot of people start out well, but don't finish well. A lot of people mess up throughout their lives, but they finish well. So I want you to be of those people. The righteous man, the one that's in right standing with God, that's what righteousness means, not blameless. You've got to get your terminology correct in the scriptures. The righteous man is in right standing with God, which means he's forgiven, he's redeemed, so whatever measure he has falls seven times, but gets up. So as a Christian, you have two positions. You can either stand up or be getting up, never laying down. But what crises you've been through, God's got you. God's got you. Nothing is ever beyond hope. While there's a God in heaven, there's always hope. When people are depressed and suicidal, I always tell them, look, if you still feel this way tomorrow, go right ahead, commit, kill yourself. But let's wait till tomorrow, because 99.9% of the time, they feel all better after a few hours tomorrow, because the demons are the ones that create the suicidal thoughts. His end game of the devil is to kill you. He wants to destroy. He's come to steal, divide, and destroy. Destroy. So that's what he's trying to do, the demons, is destroy your life. And he tries to steal and suck your hope out of your soul, make you feel you've got nothing to live for and everything's messed up, and keeps reciting to you how bad your life is, to steal your hope. But God's got so many solutions for you, so many. So many, way above your mind can conceive. I mean, who in this room has walked on water? Peter did. There's no limit. There's no limit. God's got all kinds of plans for you. Now, what you've been through, God's got you. God's got you. Just make sure you know what you want and ask him. Tell him. He'll help you. Ask him with an expectancy that he's going to help you. And let him do it his way, because he's so smart. And he loves you so intensely. If you heard anything tonight from what I taught you, please learn this, that there's a level that you can go to in relationship with God that is so satisfying. You've got nothing that I could want. I am terribly happy and content in God. I'm so happy. Really, and I'm not without challenges. I have constant challenges, and the devil doesn't leave me alone for a minute, but I'm so happy, really, because I have him, and it's all I want. I'm really content. There's nothing on this earth, there's no stuff that I'm impressed with or want. I'm not impressed with it. He's very real. So everything I do, every decision I make is based on what will benefit his kingdom. How can I advance God's purposes? And because I love him so much, I want to hear when I'm done, well done, Ed. Not, oh well. I want to hear well done. It's my heart's desire because I love him so much. Keep the gold streets and the rewards. Just let me please him, that he's happy that I've given all I can to him, because he's such a good, good Savior, good God. He loves you no matter what it looks like to you. He's got you covered with all your mistakes, and he'll forgive you. One of my little encounters with the Lord, you think you'd know these things. He came to me and told me one thing I'd done wrong, and I apologized for it. And then I was thinking about it while he was telling me other stuff, and I went back to it. You know, I shouldn't have done that. You're right. I'm really sorry. And he was annoyed at me for bringing it up again. God doesn't like rehearsing anything he's forgiven. There's no glory in testifying of how bad you were before you were saved. God doesn't like it at all, because he's forgiven it and forgotten it. Worse even is forgiving, talking about other people's sin. You cannot rehearse anything that God forgave you of. You dare not talk about other people's sin that God forgave too. Do you understand? It's very important. Another thing I'll warn you about is that no matter how good a Christian you are, listen to me, it might scare you, how many times you speak in tongues, no unforgiveness will go into heaven. If you have unforgiveness in your life, no matter how good Christian you are, you're not getting in. Forgiveness, unforgiveness has no place. You'll be handed over to the tormentor. So make it a lifestyle of forgiveness, and I could do a whole teaching on that, but the Lord instructed me, but not tonight. But forgiveness is a really a whole way of life. And you live. I'll give you one little key. Forgiveness is like smoking. The best way to stop smoking is don't start. The best way to get healed of forgiveness is never to take it. Once offense comes, right that second, you're determined to release it and not think about it, it doesn't matter who's guilty, you release it and forgive it completely. Then it'll never sit in your soul. And it gives you the freedom you can't dream possible. I hope I taught you some things tonight that'll help in your Christian walk and your love for God, because He loves you so much. Can you say amen? What's your name in the blue shirt? Tedrick? Keddie. What do you do, Keddie? You're a graduate? You're a what? Addictions counselor. Yeah, I hear the Lord saying you worry too much about too many things right now, and you need to come into a place of peace. God has always got you covered. You can't be walking by faith if you're trying to fix things yourself for your own life. So you've got to... Don't you love those sounds? So it's important for you to put your faith. I'm glad you're helping people and counseling them, but I need your own personal life. I need you to let God take care of you. Whatever it is, finance, whatever you need, God's got you. God's got you. Take care of you. Kedrick. Your roommate. Are you the guy, your parents I met today? You're a counselor? You are a counselor. So whatever's going on in your life, as God's a witness, God's got your back. You've got to trust Him. It's almost like you, and I would imagine you're very spiritual, you can counsel people, but you're keeping your distance because you don't feel like you're trying to fix your stuff before you get to God. He'll come just as you are. Let Him fix it for you. Yeah?
Amen.
So you share a house, room, what? Does he snore? You don't know? You don't sleep with him? Thanks for sharing that. But you can hear in the house. I can hear people in the next room over. It sounds like they're soaring a log. It's like, really? Wow. Even in hotels, I hear them. Yeah, you can hear them in hotels, too. People in the next room, they can snore. So quite something. All right. So what's your name with the blue shirt? Is it blue? Yeah. Oh, Scotty? This one right here.
Oh, you.
What is your name? Scott. And this is your lovely
wife.
You knew that, didn't you, man?
Jeanette.
Yeah. How long are you married to this fella?
13 years.
You didn't know, did you, Scott?
No, yeah.
She's rich. She saved your bacon.
2008.
And how many children do you have?
Two.
Together or separate?
No, the first one is for another marriage. His name is Andrew, and my second Jaira.
How old is Andrew?
27.
I see still incompletes around him, education and training, and God wants to help him, and he keeps bumping his head. He's got so much going on. And you could tell him that the Lord says, just take it down a notch and just breathe a little. Don't try and do 10 things at the same time. He's got too much going on. He wants to do it all. And he says, calm it down and let God just instruct him and help him. He needs to succeed at one thing at one time. And he needs to choose his friends a little more carefully. He's got some people he's got a very naive or simplistic heart. He's not complicated. People use him very easily. But he's soft nature. He's got a good heart. And the next one is?
Jaira.
Jaira?
Like Jaira, like Jehovah Jireh.
You called the child Jaira?
Yes.
God provides.
Well, it was during a time when the Lord was providing supernaturally.
Okay, because we have John and Peter and Matthew. Yeah. Jaira, really?
Jaira.
It's a girl. It's a girl.
But she's always going to tell people, my name is G-Y. You always explain their name. It's cruel. I don't know why you guys are there. So it's your daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how old is she?
She's 12.
12. So you had a child together?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, Jaira. Jaira is very intelligent and likes to control the room in some way. A little bossy and scouts the room and trying to guess what her opinion is. She's going to tell you. It's just her personality. You're not going to change that in a hurry. And sister, you're very strong-natured, and even your strength will not crack her spirit. She's just too strong for that. She's born to lead and born to do really well. She's a rapid fire. She's a fast mover. She's always going to move fast, very intelligent, and she's got to keep her staying on the target, not getting distracted. That's the important part. But she'll do really well. It's God's blessing. She's only 12, and she should be very healthy, but there's something in her, one of her limbs or body or something that needs fixing, and God's going to heal that. God's going to take care of it, right? So what do you do for a living, sir?
Realtor.
You sell property?
I do.
Wonderful. And you come to this church?
I don't.
You don't like this church?
No, this is my wife's friend recommended. We actually have been trying to start our own church for a while now. So.
Oh, really? Well, at least come to a church somewhere where you get to, it's healthy for you, get fed. You've got a good heart and a kind spirit. You're a generous man of nature, and I don't mean just with substance. I mean with your heart, time, your life. You just love to give and do. But you also think too much. You're a thinker. You mess it up with all your thinking. You go to bed tonight and you've got it all worked out, and then by tomorrow you've got a whole other idea again. And sometimes it's good, and many times it's just trouble. So the Lord says, don't lean on your own understanding, but let the Lord Spirit lead you, make you strong, because He wants to lead you into a whole different business arena. It's very important you understand that you're shepherding, and your Father's heart will be at its best in business. Sons that look to you because it's camouflaged in business. They, in church, they expect one thing, but at business, they expect a whole different thing. And it's more than realtor. You're going to be the boss man. That's God's plan. What do you do, ma'am?
I'm the assisting manager of a property.
Assisting manager of a property?
Yeah.
Yeah. God's, you're a wonderful lady in so many ways, but the Lord is knocking on your door and asking you to forgive. There have been people who have done you wrong, and you've built a neat wall to keep them at a distance, and so you almost have an anticipation for certain people to want to hurt and injure you, so you have a on guard all the time. You've got to let that barrier down, let the Lord be your defense. If you give God complete control, He will be the defense for your life. And there are some reconciliations in your own family that have been distanced and broken for a while, and you can't fix it. You've tried it. It's not in your power. It's in God's, and God's starting the first one very soon, and there's going to be a snowball thing of reconciliations and relationships. It's God's plan. God broke the curse of cancer off your family and out of your bloodline. He's taking it out completely out of your whole bloodline. That's God's promise to you. Okay, please don't get too excited and happy about that. All these excited people.
Hallelujah.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. Good God, bad devil. What is your name, young lady next to me?
Oh, Kara.
Kara?
Yeah.
What do you do, Miss Kara? Are you laughing?
Right now I work for a clothing designer, but I'm also going to school.
For?
Copy editing.
You go to school to do and make copies?
No. To edit, like to read it and find grammar errors.
You need to go to school to learn to read?
Well, like to learn how to figure out what's wrong and help people make their writing better and like proofread.
Mm-hmm. Where's mom and dad?
They're probably at their house.
Where?
But they're around here. They live in West Palm.
Thank you. Do they go to church?
Yes, they do.
There's one of them that needs a physical healing.
Yeah.
And I see an angel at their house ministering to them, standing by, wanting to do something. All they have to do is accept it, open their hearts, and don't have to go to hospital, doctor. God's going to fix it. He's going to take care of it. I don't know how many siblings you have, but there's one that seems to be troublesome or troubled. And the Lord has sent an angel too, because mom has been concerned for a while about that child. And God's going to send an angel and track that child down and just rescue in so many ways. You were the perfect daughter in so many ways. You're perfect in every way. You just always have the right heart, trying to please and do and always serve. And God loves your heart for that. But you are not valuable for what you do, but for who you are. You've got a very sweet heart and unselfish heart. Are you married in love? What?
No.
The Lord wants me to tell you that you had a disappointment, and it kind of bruised your soul. And so you almost not sure which way to go. It's like a dog that's been beaten, not sure who to go to. And God says, be at peace. I will not let you make a mistake. That's God's promise to you. There's one guy that's trying to, where you work somewhere, where you're trying to be interested in, that's not the plan. That's not the distraction. Yeah, you really want a godly guy. Tell you, you've asked the Lord, you've held a whole list a bit too long, but you need to let the top three be the important ones. If you were Jewish, it'd be a godly man and money. That's the only thing that matters. What's love got to do with it? Do with it. Do with it. I'm so comical of wearing myself down. So, what happened to Joseph? Joseph was supposed to marry Mary, and he married Monica. Close enough. It got the M right, right? So, Monica. So, Joseph, what do you do? You're a retired school teacher. All right. Right. I think if I gave you a name, it would be Mr. Do It Right. Always correcting and doing it right. And in your mind, there's the wrong way to do it, and there's the right way to do it. And we're always going to strive to do it the right way. No matter how, even if it's more tiresome, more expensive, you always end up wanting to do it the right way because you programmed yourself for years already, because the end product, ultimately, it always ends up better when it's the right way about it. And so you may think it's just a thing that you married Mono and that you're in this church, but it's a divine plan that God has. He's culminating, you've got your own ideas, but God's culminating all the years of experience. And you've had some wars in the school industry. You've had some horrible things, political stuff really tear you apart, and you stood your ground, but you are battle scarred. You are battle scarred from the industry you were in. But you stood for righteousness and did the best you knew how as you could, and it pleased the Lord because you stood for what is right. But you lost a lot along the way. You took a lot of damage. God's replenishing and rekindling, and he doesn't want you just to hide away and be a little retiree. No, he wants to still use you because you receive very strong convictions, and you're definitely a finisher. You will always finish. If you put your hands to that plow, you're going to finish that field, whatever it takes. And you're going to raise up workers and God's people around you and install that same character in them. Although it burnt you out over the years, you're going to do it for God's people now. And you're still going to teach. You're still going to, by your way of life, you're going to teach. And by the things you say, it's part of God's divine plan. There's no question. You're going to help raise up a worded Bible school right here in this place. It's all part of the program. That's why God initiated the whole thing. He gave you a wife that nobody would have picked in your family for you. She's so different personality. She just, you stress about all the detail and has to all be correct and do it right. And she doesn't even pay attention, just does it. She'll go, she'll make up her own rules as she goes along. She just drives. If there's no lane there, she'll make a lane. She'll just find a way. She's just very casual, just takes life as it comes. And you need some of that because you're way too serious. And she needs some of yours because she's way too, she wears her angels down. Let me say no more about that. So you have that wonderful ministry that God has planned. But I'm releasing you today by the word of the Lord from all the control and judgments from your own family. From people that are supposed to have loved you, that have all got opinions. You've had to try and become immune to it, but I'm releasing you from it. That there's no effect of that anymore. God's going to bless you. And not only give you a new life, he's going to amalgamate both of them with great joy. Because God is the rebuilder. He builds and he reconciles. But you're going to be very effective here. There's no way you can do nothing. Your mind is always racing and working at all kinds of plans. You can't even watch the news and your mind is traveling. You can't even lay down the bed. Your mind is making up all kinds of plans what you can do next. And you have to fight yourself not to do stuff. And it's the natural nature in you that God gave you for a reason and a blessing. You went through a bad patch years ago, and you've never forgiven yourself. So I'm releasing you from that too in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because you're hard on yourself. You need to walk in the fullness of God's blessing. You have a set income, but the Lord has other plans to generate funds for you in the most unusual ways to show you he's not broke, poor, or cheap. He's able. He is able. You're very frugal and clever with money, but you're going to be shocked what God's going to do for you and through you. As for you, Monique, you're a character. I've known you a long time. And you can really sing with a lovely voice. You've got a sweet heart. Your heart is so unpresuming and uncomplicated. You do make your angel tired because you do strange things and you just things that are just not important to you. Stuff's never been a problem for you. You just live life and you'll live large. Just happy, 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 happy. I don't know where you live now, but God has got a house. Oh, I do know where you live. You told me. An apartment, you said, right? God's got a house for you, not far from here. an impossible buy. I can tell you, and I see water all around it. It's like you have to cross a bridge to get to it. It's like a little island. I don't know how to explain it, but it's a whole area. It's really pleasant. It's something that you would never, neither of you. He's too practical. He's too economical, and you just don't care about money and stuff. And you could never keep money. It's like you're allergic to having money in your pocket. It just has to go so fast. I see you gathering coins in the car even when you had to buy something, but you could, but you just didn't have money, and you just looked, it was all over the place. Interesting little lady. Yeah, but that's all going to change. God's going to bless you. And your home will be a place of great joy and peace and love, and people will come there and really be happy there. So God's got some good plans for you up ahead. It's not just a marriage of convenience or a marriage of just happened. No, God had a plan all along. Thank you for being here, both of you. Both wonderful people. Great addition to the church, right? Am I okay still? You guys are not bored yet? Not tired? What's your name with the long, pretty hair? This little lady, she knows I'm talking to her.
Juju.
Juju?
Medavi, but...
Where are you from?
Patna, India.
India? Oh, I think I've spoken to you before. You look familiar to me. And this is your husband? What's your name, sir?
Dave.
David. All right, David. What do you do, sir?
We have a home inspection business.
And a good one, too. Good. She's a little hard worker, this little lady. And people always undersell her because she's... has an accent and whatever else, but she's smart. You don't want to mess with her. And don't say something and then change it because she remembers exactly what you said to the detail. And she just doesn't like people changing their story. Juju, whatever they call you, I really love your spirit. You are a true friend. You're upright, and you are exactly what you say you are. You're dependable. And you've had a hard journey. You're separate from people you love, and been some tough things, but the Lord is so pleased with you. The Lord is so proud of you. It's your dad in heaven that's so proud of you, and he wants to bless you. You have to just tell him what you want, because he wants to bless you. You're a hard worker. You bury yourself in constant work. You're really a hard worker, and you do everything right. You push yourself. But what makes you so beautiful is your wonderful heart and your loyal friendship. You have some regrets in your life. You wish you could go back and change. God says it all works together for good. Don't regret. Let the Lord bless all those things. Because you say, people just knew where I come from, where my past. No, 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 no. It's all worked together for a purpose. And you are a wonderful lady. God is with you. As for you, sir, you're an interesting man. You had to go through a process that God could heal your heart because you had some anger and bitterness in you. And God healed you. You're not that man anymore. And God's got some good plans. And you also disarm the people with that whole casual... look around you. No one knows how to take you when it comes to business. You don't even negotiate. You go for the kill when they're not looking. And if you say you're a home inspector, there are homes and homes and homes you're going to buy. You're going to own so many properties that you'll have to keep book of it. That's how you'll forget them. Because you will buy and sell and buy and rent and rent and rent and just invest. And God's got such plans for you because he wants to bless you. Because he knows you will do what he tells you. He'll get it to you because he can get it through you. This is your time and your season. You've got it, you've got it, you've got it. You can be a little bit tight sometimes. You'll even put the one thing back in the grocery store and take the cheaper one next to it. Just save a few cents. You've got to get a little bit balanced there. You've got to keep the balance. God's not broke. I just want to tell you, sir. Okay, live a little. Breathe. Dude, like totally. What's your name with a cross around you, sir? William. And it's William's, we had him this morning, didn't we? Was that the same one, right? No. And what's your name, young lady?
Shanta.
Shanta?
Shanta.
Shanta. Sounds like someone's tongue. Shanta, Shanta, Shanta. I could speak tongues. But I like it. It's a beautiful name. Are you married to this fella? Do you like him? And how long are you married to him? Okay. What do you do, Shanta?
I'm a receptionist for the public defender's office.
For the public defender? For the public defender, but he's working really hard. Yeah. Do you have a son?
Do I have a son? I have three sons.
You have a son that needs you, always needs you, and everyone's telling you what to do with that son, but your heart doesn't tell you that. You get in trouble because you keep helping and rescuing. And the Lord says, normally rescuing doesn't help them, but in this case, don't give up because they're going to come. Your Ishmael will become not will become the Isaac. Things will turn. God will turn around. Your Jacob will become the Israel. God will turn what was difficult to become a blessing. Just keep at it. God will give you strength. And the devil try to tell you that you've got something wrong with you physically. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just a little bump in the road. Nothing serious to be worried about. And so, William, what do you do? Are you retired? Interesting man. You're very intelligent and underutilized. You have a lot of wisdom and insight, and God would like to use that for his glory. You've got a good, kind heart. You read people so well. Read people so well. You enjoy Santa because she's not complicated and she's sensitive, but you're a man of a gifting to read people, and God has turned the curse of illness away from you to bring the blessing of God. You have a heritage of godliness from way back in your family. You messed it up. You did. You went down a different road one time, but you've always had the DNA of godliness in you, and now it's your season to walk in the fullness of the Lord. All right, William. Yeah. Are we bored yet? So, you're not married yet? You're not in love yet? Have you looked on the internet? There's hundreds and hundreds of available people, but they all lie. I wouldn't believe anybody on the internet. No one tells the truth. They always send in their school photographs and that. Years and years ago. You're still a nurse, right? You're with children? Pediatric ward? Yeah. She's supposed to stay there for a while, but you need to tell God what it is you really want. But you go through phases where you're frustrated and phases where you're okay. Just keep going. But you must make up your mind what it is you really want and tell the Lord. He wants to know what you want. And name it. Be honest with yourself. And God will give you exactly what you ask. God's for you. He really is. You have not been a complicated person. Very simple, easy to go. But things are moving inside of you. You know, you're changing. You're transforming. There's a metamorphosis going on. They always thought that you were the quiet, timid, pleasant, easy. Now, the woman of God is rising up in you. There's a warrior coming out of you. It's going to shock everybody, including your family, because that's what you designed for. Your nursing will change. God's got other plans for you. Your degree will still work, but in a different way. You won't work in the hospital where you understand. God's got a whole different plan for you, because you actually have you need a cause. You need something to fight for. Until now, you were happy with the whole routine and just a normal life, going to work and about everything you could predict. But that warrior woman is rising up inside of you. It's going to change everything. And you will not walk alone. God will give you someone that will be right. But you won't settle. I promise. Yes, ma'am. I can give you a name and address or a phone number. All nervous. You'll have a godly man, I promise you. Very godly man. Trustworthy. Don't have to worry about what will happen tomorrow. Always be stable. Mr. Stable. Mr. Stable, are you guys bored yet?
No.
What's your name with the... Got some red in your hair there, too. Yeah.
Monique.
Monique?
Yes.
Look, about that. Seems to be a name that's well used. Are you married, Miss Monique?
No, sir, I'm not.
Would you like to be?
Yes, sir.
All right. Have you asked the Lord?
I have.
And what did he say?
In his timing.
You're probably looking for Mr. Perfect, but I'm already married, so it's going to have to be someone. That's funny to you? What do you do, Monique?
I'm a behavior health technician.
A behavior health technician. What a title. What does it mean?
Well, I work with mental health patients.
Mental health patients. Where's your mom?
She's in Delray.
Delray, is that not far from here?
About an hour.
Because the Lord's knocking on her door and fixing some things. You could never do it all right with her. It was always something. God's turning her heart around because you're a blessing. They would undersell you because they didn't understand you. But you're a sweetheart. I'm so sorry for all you've been through, because you really are unselfish and a kind, beautiful. And anyone who marries you is getting a princess. Really, I'm not just saying that, you really are. But you're kind and giving. You can You can get mad now and again, but it's not something that happens often. It's just not your nature. It's not your nature. But you've been running on empty for a while. You've been very low and just not happy, and get up in the morning and you don't have any energy, no strength, because you have nothing to go forward to. So I'm here to tell you, God says, I know the plans I have for you, to do you good and not to do harm. God has plans for you, Monique. There's no question. Now, he's really picky about the right man. Very picky. Because you threw yourself at all kinds of trash. And God's not allowing that to happen again. Anybody to make you feel like you're garbage anymore. Because you always attract the abusers, always attract the users and liars. Not this time. God's got someone that's really nice for you. You'll know him because he's really musical. Very musical. I can play anything, sing anything. He's always tapping on something. I just want you to know that. Yes. Do you have children?
I do.
How many?
Five.
Wow. And how old's the oldest child?
32.
Come on. You were 10 years old when you had a child?
15.
Okay, what's his name?
She? Her name is Sierra.
Sierra? Like the vehicle?
Yes.
Yeah, Sierra. How old is she?
32.
And what does she do?
She is a CNA. She works in the healthcare profession.
Yeah, God is healing her heart because she hasn't dealt with some issues, and she's angry at different things, and nothing you can do to fix it. But God's working in her heart, and she's done a lot of stupid things herself. Things that she accused everyone else of, but she's done them herself. But God's working in her. She will not, I promise you, within a year or two, you'll not recognize her. The next one?
MC.
MC is a name?
Yes.
What does MC do?
He drives trucks.
He drives trucks. He's trouble looking to happen all the time. I see he just makes the wrong decisions, and God's giving him another chance because he didn't always do this, and God's picked him up because he went down a bad road, and he's got a lot of scattered seeds, it seems to me, a lot of things, relationships that are all over the place, and God says the only way he's going to be happy is he really puts God first, not just talk about it, really walk it. You can tell him Ed Trout said that today.
I will.
And the next one?
Tierra.
Tierra.
Yes.
Tierra's a girl?
Tierra's a girl.
Strong-willed, very private, almost aloof, different from the family, and not proud of her family, but she's got some strength, that girl. And she's withdrawn, but she won't stay that way. She's going to be your greatest blessing in your life. She's going to get behind you, support you. The next one?
Kiara.
Were you not sober when you made these names up? Kiara? Is it a girl?
Yes, it is.
How many girls do you have?
Four girls.
Okay, Kiara. Mm-hmm. And Kiara is how old?
Kiara is 27.
27. Kiara's fun-loving, just happy. If everyone loves Kiara. Everyone loves her personality. She doesn't finish things. Oh, my Lord. She starts stuff and doesn't finish a thing. She's always got trouble, always needs money, always trouble. Money just falls right through her hands. That girl cannot keep money. Must know Monique. Did I say that loud? But everyone loves her. She's a friendly person, sweetheart. She's impulsive, makes unwise decisions, but she's got a good heart. She's not evil. And the next one?
Tiffany.
Tiffany's how old, Tiffany?
Tiffany was 26.
Yeah, she's got a vision in her heart. She wants to do stuff. She could dream is big, that girl. Dreams big. And when she's used to getting her way, and she's frustrated. She made a bad decision about a relationship, it seems to me, and it's left her kind of hanging for a while. But that will change. God will work on it. Just, they all need your prayer, and your life serving God is a big thing. And so God's got you a little finger-tapping fellow coming away. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Five kids. Started when she's 15. Golly. Thank you, Jesus. Did you want to pick someone? Someone you don't like. Am I embarrassing you? Okay. You want to pick someone I can pick? Your face looks anxious. Go ahead and pick him. Go ahead, Tom. Who? Why are you whispering? Thank you, Roberta. Thank you. It's almost like a secret. Roberta. So are you Roberta, right? And what do you do, Ms. Roberta?
A minister.
Where?
Right now at my
pastor? What do you do? Minister, deliver, healing, what?
I sold the ministry and sold all the property, so I'm reinventing.
You sold your ministry?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that.
Well, yeah. I sold all the properties, all the business, everything. Yeah.
You were tired, were you?
Yeah, it's a long story.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's a key in your hand to deliver, set the captive free. That's what God called you to do, but you're starting a whole new page. I don't know where you live right now, but everything's starting new. You're moving, everything's fresh. You beat that horse until there's nothing more to boot. You tried everything you tried, did all the warfare, people praying for you. The worst was the ones who were in your own sphere of prayer, your own bubble that turned against you. That was the worst. The betrayer, the kiss of the betrayer in your own household, spiritual household, that was the real issue. You knew what you were up against, the war, you knew the fight, but that was the hardest thing for you. And that's why you're still worn out. But I'm here to tell you, God's got something so fresh. You've got a valid ministry. You're not crazy. They've called you all kinds of things. My goodness. They called Jesus. They told him he's got this, but the power of Beelzebub he does drives him out. That's what they said. That the Son of God do miracles. That's what they told him. So why would you escape? You know, they've told you terrible things about you. But shake it off. You're going to another district, another whole new county. God's got a plan for you, and you will minister to people's lives. You can't stop it. They're drawn to you. You have to, even now, even as burnt out, as tired as you are, going to the grocery store, it's very hard for you not to talk to someone. They say something, and they open that door, and you just want to help them. But it's not your time. Just take a rest. Take a break, and let God revive you. It's that simple. There's some legal matters that need to be settled, though. God's fixing, and he sent an angel to straighten that lot out. The devil will not succeed. He's going to raise you up. Raise you up, right? Do you have someone you want to minister with? This is about coming to the end of it now. You're singing, are you? Did you hear her? She does that? You know her? Miss Carol. Buttor? Buttorf. Where? You her friend? I'm glad she has friends. That's nice to know. Miss Buttorf, and this is your boyfriend?
Yes.
Just a plaything, huh?
No.
Are you? What is his name?
Bill James.
Bill, are you not married? I was just joking. I thought you were husband and wife. Okay, sorry. Just kidding. So, I was just kidding. I really was. So, are you single still, right?
Yes.
Okay. What do you do?
I live in a senior living, independent living.
That's so difficult for you, but you're just not that person yet. You just got too much energy inside of you still. You're still carrying loads that are not yours to carry. You still worry about everybody trying to fix things, and you're on the phone too long with some people that just, they've heard you enough. You've told them enough what to do and help them and counsel. They're still not listening. So you've got the wisdom of God inside of you. So let them talk, but now don't offer the advice anymore, but you've given it. You've helped them. And people will just do what you say, because you have the wisdom of God in you. It comes from your father's side. There's a wisdom in your family that's incredible. They always could. People just come for counseling miles to them, and the same with you. You have a great counsel inside of you, a lot of wisdom. And anybody can get help, but if you're to keep telling the same person over and over the same thing, you're wasting your time and energy, and it's tiring your soul out. So don't let that happen to you, but don't let people use you too much. But they really need you. You can give them the word of God, no problem. I see with a little Bible study where you are, you can't help yourself. You've got to teach the word. People come to you and they love it, and sometimes they wear you down, but you just don't fit with the old people. You've got a more of a young spirit, and there's some younger generation you've got to minister life to, because you've got such fire. You just don't know how to be negative and whiny. It's just not your nature. You're full of faith. Full of faith. It's always believing God for the supernatural. And you suffered some losses many years ago, and you know what suffering and loss and pain feels like. But never did you ever blame God or hold God accountable. You always were gracious and worshiped God in spite of all the losses you've had. As for you, sir, you're the friend. He's from the same place, I imagine, same.
My name is Bill James, and I live in the same
community.
Assisted living facility.
Uh-huh. I'm glad.
Carol lives.
Are you born again, sir?
She brought me here.
Pardon? Are you born again?
I was born in Boynton Beach.
Pardon? Are you a Christian? You born again?
In fact, I'm in waiting for a call from the Lord to come home.
Well, you're a bit in a hurry because, you know, you're worth more to God here than up there. I don't know if you know that.
I am born again.
You have enough time to be out of this earth. I don't want to be in a hurry to get out of it because you've got every single day. He's taught me that. Every single day is important to him. Maybe frustrating for you because you have, but you've got to think of what God wants. Even one word of you to someone that just strengthens them or gets them in salvation is worth gold. You cannot even equate that. And there's still things you say because you've always been a very direct person. You don't mix your words. You're going to tell them what you think, and that's what where salvation is going to come your way, because you're going to speak to people about salvation and wear them down, and people will get saved right there where you are. So your work is not done. So you're not waiting for a call to come home. It's not time. Sorry to tell you. All right. How about this little? Are you a couple? Friends. Okay. Are you married, ma'am? Are you married, sir?
We were married.
Who's we?
The two of us were married, and now we're not. And I'm hoping that we will be again.
Aww.
Did you know that, ma'am?
I guess I have the idea.
Love is in the air, every sight and every sound. I'm feeling all romantic now. So, had you got kids together? So you weren't married before, okay? So you never had kids before then. So what do you do, ma'am?
David and Judy. David is my son. David, the man
one that's going to be so wealthy?
Yes, that's my boy.
Okay, and successful. Yeah. That's where you got it from, your strength. You're just not a giver-upper. If anything in your life, you've never quit. You just don't. Imagine I'm making it up. It's still true. So the thing with you is that your whole life you had challenges like other people, but you just find your way again. And that needs to be imparted to other people. He's got it, but you need to keep imparting it. And this is the funniest thing in your life now, is the prophetic hits you in the most uncanny way. You're having dreams and funny experiences, and you're dismissing them, but actually the Holy Ghost is ministering not to you, but to you for someone else. And that's why before you meet them, he's appearing you. You flippantly or unknowingly said to God, use me, and I'll whatever you ask. He took it seriously. They wrote in the book of remembrance. So he's starting to prepare you before you meet that person. So don't dismiss that strange dream or that strange input or that vision. Take it seriously. Write it down. Record it and meditate on it. Because you're going to meet someone that needs it. Whether it's today or tomorrow, but very soon. And you've got to share it. And use it carefully. Don't tell them what you saw. Just tell them what the Lord's saying. God will give that to you. Right? What's your name, sir?
Milton.
Milton. What did you do before you retired?
I've never really retired. I've been an entrepreneur most of my life.
Doing what?
Several different businesses. Financial world. She and I had a private college, the only type of college of its type in the country. I had a television show. I've done children's entertainment. You name it, I've done it. And also sold many things, but... I think the two of us are kind of called to do whatever the Lord wants us to do.
Yeah, that's to use this time preciously. I do feel that you mean to. I feel sitting together feels right to me. There's a camaraderie or a friendship. I feel that's very important to the Lord. I don't know where your family are, but this is the season that God is stirring up in the family, a reconciliation. There's been distancing, and God wants to fix those things. It's not your doing. It's not your job to repair it. God is doing it.
Wonderful.
There's been judgment against you. They've had opinions against you. All of that's going to be healed and fixed. And what's going to be hard for you is not to say a whole lot. You just say what they want to say and just let it be repaired. Don't do a lot of talking about it, because you can talk your way right into the business and right out of the transaction again. So sometimes you've got to shut up.
Okay. Thank you.
That's what's going to happen in those relationships. It's very important to heal. God bless the two of you for being here. Just sweet, sweet people. What is your name with the red shirt?
Moises?
Yeah. Whose picture is that in your shirt?
It's a long story. You want one?
No, definitely not. What do you do, Moises?
I'm a real estate investor.
Real estate investor. All right. The Lord says you've chosen rightly. I don't know what life you came from. I don't know what you embraced Christianity. devil's trying to tell you made a mistake. Your life's in danger. None of it's true. You chose wisely because the ripple effect in the spirit world is touching people that are not even here, that are family of yours connected to you. And the salvation will reach them even though you can't. Salvation will reach them. You are like a lifeline. So you've done the right thing. You've done the right thing. You are a little impulsive and a little bit crazy sometimes. You do things that without thinking it all through. And you've got to just take it down a notch for a bit because there is a property God's plan. I see a beautiful condominium high up that God's got planned for you to own. And that's very important. And I don't know if you'll live there or let someone else live there. Someone you're longing to get back in your life and in the family. And God's going to do that for you. So you're on the right track. You made the right decision. Thank you so much for being here. If I didn't prophesy for you tonight, it means I've got to come back another time. I'm exhausted now. And I cannot say what God didn't give me. So if I didn't prophesy for you, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It just means I've got to come back another time. In fact, I think I'm going to be here in January. Yeah. It's a standard booking. All right. Are you going to do all your... Come on, dude. You're the man.
Wasn't that amazing? Can we just give him a round of applause? I feel like every time he ministers and prophesies over people, I get ministered to just as much. It's because it's the word of God being spoken through the Holy Spirit using him, and so that's why. And for me personally, I get encouraged just as much as the people he's prophesying over. So. Yeah, we're just really blessed to have him here this morning and tonight. And so we're just going to go listen to a quick video from Pastor Steve, and then we'll be out of here shortly. Thank you, guys.
Well, what a blessing that was, wasn't it? Prophet Ed Trout, thank you, Prophet Ed, for coming. We really appreciate you coming to minister at Ascend Church. And, you know, the scripture says this. We're going to receive an offering for Prophet Ed. And the reason is because the Bible says in 3 John verse 5, it's just one chapter, it says this: Dear friend, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. For they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers, so we ourselves should support them so that we can be partners as they teach the truth. The Word of God says those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. In other words, the people that they preach to should provide for them, and this is what this scripture is saying. He's saying when traveling teachers pass through, come and minister at the church, that God says we are to provide for them in a manner that pleases God. That must mean there must be a manner that pleases God and a manner that doesn't please God. We want to provide for them in a way that pleases God, and it says that we should support them and that when we do, that we become partners with them. In other words, when you give to the ministry of Prophet Ed Trout, and he travels all over the world, whoever's life is touched or changed, you have a part of that because of giving and supporting Prophet Ed Trout's ministry. So this is sure great soil to sow into. I want to encourage you to be generous and listen to your heart and sow and support Prophet Ed Trout's ministry. We're going to receive an offering right now. I'm going to ask you to just listen to your heart. Say, Lord, what would you have me do? And thank you for your giving. Those watching online, thank you for giving. You can give online as well. So let's just pray right now. Father, I thank you right now for Prophet Ed, and I thank you for speaking to every heart as to what you would have us to give. And Lord, you said that when we give, that it will be given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be given into our bosom. I thank you for blessing every giver, Lord, multiplying the gift that they gave in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Please prepare yourself right now to give. Pastor Jill and I will be back next Sunday. We can't wait to see you. I've got a word that's going to encourage you. So we'll see you next Sunday. We love you. God bless everybody. We'll see you soon.
So there's, like I mentioned before, just a reminder, there's different ways to give and to sow into Prophet Ed's ministry. PayPal, Cash App, text, you can give online, and with the Secure Give app. Like just what Pastor Steve was talking about, this is good soil you guys are sowing into. I've known Prophet Ed for 20 plus years. He's prophesied over me since I was about 15, and he's been such a major influence and mentor in my life. And just ask the Lord what he's leading you to sow into his ministry, because one word from Prophet Ed can change someone's life. It's changed my life probably a couple years ago. I got a word from him. I was serving the Lord, but kind of had one foot in the world, and it kind of radically shifted my life, and it's the word from God can do that. And so when you sow into his ministry and you partner with him, one word could be someone sitting here and could be the next Billy Graham and could lead thousands to Christ. And so you're partnering with that by sowing into his ministry. So looks like the buckets have all gone around, but just a couple announcements. We have Thursday prayer this Thursday. I guess we're going to be doing it weekly. That was a prophetic word there. We'll start doing that weekly. It starts at 7. We'll be meeting in the upper room. And then, connect groups will be meeting on Wednesday at 7. If you guys aren't plugged in, I'd encourage you to get plugged in to your local connect group. It's so important to build the community with like-minded believers. And then we'll see you guys, if not connect group or prayer, we'll see you guys Sunday morning. Pastor Steve and Jill will be back. I'm sure they'll be refreshed and energized and ready to bring the word to you guys. So we love you guys so much, and we'll see you next week.